వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 1, Text Number 7.
Yada sabhayam kuru deva devyaha kesha bhimarsham sutakarma garhyam navarayam asanrupas స్వశ్రైర్హరంత్యాః కుచకుంకమాని యదా సభాయాం కురు దేవ దేవ్యాః కేశాభిమర్షం సుతకర్మ గర్హ్యం నవారయామాస నృపస్వ నృపస్నుషాయాః స్వశ్రైర్ హరంత్యా కుచ కుంకమాని యదా సభాయాం కురు దేవ దేవ్యాః కేశాభిమర్షం సుతకర్మ గర్హ్యం నవారయామాస నృపస్నుషాయాః స్వశ్రైర్హరంత్యాః కుచ కుంకమాని.
అసెంబ్లీ కురుదేవ దేవ్యాః ఆఫ్ ద్రౌపది వైఫ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్లీ యుధిష్ఠిర కేశ అభిమర్షం ఇన్సల్ట్ బై గ్రాబింగ్ హర్ హెయిర్ సుతకర్మ యాక్షన్ టేకన్ బై హిస్ సన్ గర్హ్యం విచ్ వాస్ అబామినబుల్ నా డిడ్ నాట్ వారయామాస forbid nripaha the king snushaya of his daughter in law swasraihi by her tears harantyaha of she who was washing kucha kumkumani red dust on her breast. Translation: the king did not forbid his son Dushasana's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of the godly king Yudhishthir, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast. Now purport, text number 8.
Dyute tva dharmena jitasya sadhoh సత్యావలంబస్య వనం గతస్య నయాచతోదాత్ సమయేన దాయం తమో జుషాణో యదజాత శత్రోః.
యుధిష్ఠిర్, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling. But because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion. Purport, by his divine grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Maharaj Yudhishthir was the rightful heir to his father's kingdom. But just to favor his own sons, headed by Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Yudhishthir's uncle, adopted various unfair means to cheat his nephews of their rightful share of the kingdom. At last, the Pandavas demanded only 5 villages, one for each of the 5 brothers. But that was also refused by the usurpers. This incident led to the war of Kurukshetra. The battle of Kurukshetra, therefore, was induced by the Kurus and not the Pandavas. As Kshatriyas, the proper livelihood of the Pandavas was only to rule and not to accept any other occupation. A Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya will not accept employment for his livelihood under any circumstances.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamakhyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnamamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Rupa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
As Kshatriyas, the proper livelihood of the Pandavas was only to rule and not to accept any other occupation. A Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya will not accept employment for his livelihood under any circumstances. They are reading from the chapter Questions by Vidura. In these 2 verses, there is a mention about how Draupadi was insulted in the public by Dushasana, and that was not stopped by the Kuru elder Dhritarashtra, who was practically shameless in not stopping such an activity. And subsequently the next verse says that the Pandavas were the personification of truth. They were most virtuous. For the sake of truth, they were willing to endure all the difficulties in the forest for 12 years. And when they returned back to take back their kingdom, they were not given, they were denied the kingdom. And then here Prabhupada is making a point
if Kshatriyas have no land to rule, they will perish. Because everyone has the dharma to do. And Kshatriya dharma is to rule. So Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthira Maharaj, gave a proposal that because we as Kshatriyas cannot even survive without ruling a piece of land, so just give us 5 villages. This was Yudhishthira's idea, not Lord's idea. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, you know, we would be satisfied even with 5 villages, while you can rule the whole world, he told Duryodhana. Because Duryodhana had pampered the public sufficiently to convince them that I am a good king. So, just like modern day politicians say that we will open a cinema theatre in your village if you vote for us. Or you'll open a liquor shop in your village if you vote for our party. Or sometimes they say we will open a slaughterhouse. Such kind of things. So, sometimes a king may pamper the public despite knowing that what he is pampering them will be harmful to them, only to get the popular vote, to capture the seat, in order to loot the money by occupying the post, so that he can save some money for canvassing for the next election. So, that is not uncommon for those who are irreligious. So, Duryodhana also was trying to become popular amongst his people by pampering them, by giving abundant charity. So, he wanted to show the world that you don't need the Pandavas, you need only me. Be happy with me. And if the Pandavas come, I am planning to either send them back to forest or kill them, destroy them. And his father was also a shareholder of this demoniac program plotted by Duryodhana. Simply because Dhritarashtra was attached to his son Duryodhana. That's all. He just couldn't refuse Duryodhana ever. He was so attached to his son, all the evil plots made by Duryodhana were sanctioned by Dhritarashtra simply due to his material attachment. And Dhritarashtra secretly harbored malice for the Pandavas. He wished and hoped that let the Pandava children perish and let my sons flourish. That was his desire. So, that is the reason why even after the 12 years of forest life, they have returned back. Instead of welcoming them and handing over the kingdom to them, he is trying to drive them back again. Anyway, the point to highlight here is that a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, they will never work under anybody. They will never, Prabhupada says, they will never accept any employment for their livelihood under any circumstances. So in the Vedic literatures, we find there is a very vivid description about Swadharma. No one should give up their Swadharma. Shreyan Swadharma Vigunaha Paradharumat Swanushtitat. In Bhagavata, Lord Krishna says, Shreyan Swadharma Vigunaha. Even if you do it faultily, it is better for you to do your own Swadharma, Krishna is saying. Rather than do someone else's dharma perfectly. If somebody may say, I am able to do someone else's dharma perfectly, he says, no, it's better for you to do your own dharma a bit faultily. But he says that one should not give up one's dharma. Actually, these statements are there in Bhagavad Gita and even Mahabharata and Ramayana and many other places. Most people may not exactly understand what they mean. And oftentimes there are innumerable misconceptions about such statements like this. The Swadharma of the soul is to be a servant of Krishna. That is the first dharma for the soul. And Swabhav, what we call a Swabhav in this world, is secondary dharma for the soul. But the secondary dharma is called as a Swadharma in this world because we are living in this world. Because we are living in the material world. So, it is called as Swadharma. We should always remember it is a secondary dharma. The secondary nature that has captured the living entity. It's also called as prejudice or conditioning or tendency. We call these names. Like some souls are entrapped in a body which has, you know, tamoguna tendency. Nidra alasya pramad. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. They like to sleep a lot. They like to be lazy. They take to all kinds of intoxicants and illusions. Like the hippies were taking to drugs and all kinds of things. They put themselves in illusion and think it's wonderful. Or a pig living in a ditch. It's a dirty place, but it thinks it's very wonderful. It's a very beautiful place. So this is tamoguna. And rajoguna, Krishna says, sangha and trishna, he says. Sangha means attachment, especially for the opposite sex. Hankering for honor, hankering for prestige, position, fame, name. All these things come under rajoguna. Like some people, like scientists for example, many of them are not earning any fat salaries at all, like software engineers earn. But they are hankering not for money, but for recognition. I have published 8 papers in international magazine, but he will be earning a paltry amount of money. But for them the name is very important. Like when I was in IIT, I used to see the notice boards, whenever they publish an international paper, it gets published, they would photocopy it and put it up on the notice board. And people would go and see which professor has published what paper. So they want to increase their name and fame. So, Sangha and Trishna. Trishna means thirst for honor, prestige and all that. People want to expand their fame, either of them. Like once, I made a phone call to some family. So when I made a phone call, I asked, can I talk to Mr. Patel? I asked. They asked, Patel, which Patel are you talking? Is it P.K. Patel or K.P. Patel or O.A. Patel or M.B. Patel? Which? We have 8 Patels in our family, they said. I said, sorry, I'll get back to you. Like sometimes somebody calls ISKCON temple and asks, can I talk to Mr. Das? No. Now, we have 120 Dasas here. So, people will have specific names, although the surname is same, they have different initials. So while making announcements in a public assembly, instead of saying K.P. Patel gave a donation of 50 lakhs or something, they say M.B. Patel gave. It will create a big uproar, isn't it? So, in the platform of Rajoguna, the name, fame, prestige is very important. Sangha and Trishna. And the Sattvaguna, Sukham Badnati, Krishna says. There is a sense of pride that comes from the accomplishments in Sattvaguna. Sukham Badnati means one feels happiness in Sattvaguna because Sattvaguna activities produce happiness. They are pure activities. And Jnanam also. The knowledge leads to pride. I know. I know better than others. Or I am the most knowledgeable and best informed. This kind of pride comes from Sattvaguna. So, in the Vedas it is said, those who are in Sattvaguna, they are Brahmanas. Those who are in Rajoguna, they are Kshatriyas. Those who are in Rajoguna and Tamaguna, Rajas and Tamas mixed together, they are Vaishyas. And those who are only in Tamaguna, they are Shudras. Now, this categorization is then based on the gunas and not by birth. Somebody may be born in a Brahmana family. In one of the question answers that comes in Mahabharata, that King Nahusha in the form of a serpent asking Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is a Brahmana? So first Yudhishthira Maharaj says that anybody born in a Brahmana family is a Brahmana. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj adds one more point. He says in the dawn of creation, the Supreme Lord from His own body created these 4 classes. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. But later what happened, when the children born in Brahmana families were exactly Brahmanas. Children born in Kshatriya families will be exactly Kshatriyas. They emulated the model of their father and mother. Like that. But then later on there were intercaste marriages, anuloma, pratiloma marriages. Between Brahman, one Brahman girl is marrying a Kshatriya king. Or a Brahmana boy is marrying a Kshatriya girl. They would do like that. So, anuloma means a higher caste man marries a lower caste girl. Like a Brahmana marries a Kshatriya girl, it is Anuloma. But if a Kshatriya marries a Brahmani girl, it is Pratiloma. So there is Anuloma, Pratiloma marriages happen. After that, Yudhishthira Maharaj says, it became difficult to ascertain who belongs to which caste, because it became mixed caste. It's difficult to say. And then he says, then a person's varna can be known only by observing his lakshanas. Yasya yallakshanam proktam. Narada Muni says in Bhagavatam also. Yasya yallakshanam proktam. See a person's lakshanas, you can say, is he in sattva-guna, is he in rajaguna, is he in tamaguna. You can easily say that. So in the gurukulas, gurus used to find out by observing the children very attentively, what are their habits, what is their behavior. For example, if you in a gurukul you put some 100 children together and you bring about a discipline, so the children who are in tamaguna, they will have a lot of difficulty. For example, they will pass urine, they will not wash their leg because uncleanliness is their characteristic. And they may wear the same dress over and over again. You may make a rule that you should never wear a same dress for the second time. But in the absence of the teacher, they may wear it. Because they are tamaguni. Yeah, they may eat in, sometimes they may, two, three people may eat in the same plate. If teacher is out. Because they think it's an easy job. You won't have to wash three plates. So, the uncleanliness and all these things. So, when a guru is observing a child, over a period of time, he can easily see he is in which guna. Like for example, when Arjuna got the hand of Draupadi, at that time they were all dressed up like Brahmanas. They were sitting on the Brahmana side. In fact, if you go to any palace in the Vedic times, different gates were meant for different people to come. The Brahmanas were supposed to come from northern gate. Then Kshatriyas would come from another gate. They would come from different places. Different, just like we have different class of people are given different level of treatment. Sometimes in a conference or hotel like that. So they came through the Brahmana gate and they were sitting on the side of Brahmanas. And on the side of Kshatriyas, many were sitting. And you know that competition. They have to see the fish in the water and they have to hit the eye of the fish. And the fish was moving like this swiftly. So many of them tried. Karana, Duryodhana, Duryodhana tried, Dushyasana, many of them tried. Some of them missed the eye of the fish by a hairline. So none of the Kshatriyas could hit. At that time, the chance was given to the Brahmanas. And Brahmana side they turned around. Is there anyone in the Brahmana side who are ready to? Immediately Arjuna stood up. And all the Brahmanas took their dhotis, they were waving it in the air. We also have somebody. Very happy. And Arjuna came forward. And you know, sure enough, he hit the eye of the bird, eye of the fish. And there was a big uproar, clapping of hands and applause from Brahmana side. So Kshatriyas, all of them were putting their head down, they were feeling humiliated. Just see, what a shame. Brahmanas are supposed to study Vedas and preach and we are supposed to hit. And how did Brahmanas do? Anyway, after that, Draupadi's Swayamvar was completed and then she was married to Arjuna. So, Draupadi's father, Drupada, was a very intelligent man. He wanted to know who these powerful-looking Brahmanas are. Even Krishna Balaram had come there. They were also sitting and Krishna and Balaram were talking amongst themselves. You know, who are these Brahmanas? Quote unquote. These are the Panchapandavas who are incognito. Because they had escaped from the Varnavat, Lakshagriha. And Duryodhana thought they are burnt to ashes. So now they didn't want to reveal their identity. So they were disguised as Brahmanas now. But after Drupada observed, these fellows say they are Brahmanas, they have a big jata on their head, they look like rishis, but then their shoulders are well built. You know, very strong, they have like a steel frame like body. Very powerful looking, how they are Brahmanas. I was a bit surprised. Because in the Brahmana Chitra Vaishudra, their body makeup also shows up their nature also. Like Brahmana is supposed to have a saumya face. There is a kind of divinity associated with the Brahmana boy's look. Similarly, when Vishwanatha Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj came here, he was telling, Kshatriya women are more beautiful than Brahmani women. Because Brahmani women are sattvic in nature. They will look more divine. But Kshatriya women are more beautiful, he was telling. Similarly, Kshatriyas have more well-built body. And Brahmanas have generally slim bodies because they perform austerities and their face appears with the Brahma Tejas. So, he was wondering, these fellows, they look like Kshatriyas but they are dressed up like Brahmanas. So, in order to test them, what he did, he called them for a lunch. They all had the lunch and they said, we have to proceed. But immediately after the lunch, just like you have this for the mouth, they give something to eat, you know, somp or something. So, there were some different things kept on the table. So, there he had kept four tables, one after another, slightly arranged with little distance. In one table there were Vedic literatures were there. In another table there were weaponry and everything. Another table there were different kinds of coins from different places. Like that it was kept. And the fourth table, extra additional eatables and other things were kept, cloth and everything. So, these four brahmanas straight away went to the second table. Immediately, Bhima took one of the swords and started saying, shh, you know, doing like that. Yeah. Arjuna took one bow and tang tang he was doing. Immediately, Drupada understood these fellows are Kshatriyas. They are not Brahmanas. Because, you know, from the taste you can know who a person is. From his taste. Just like in Calcutta, there was book launch of Radhanath Maharaj book. So, we had gone there. So, as soon as we entered, it was a bookshop, like a crossword. So, we entered, immediately, you know, all the brahmacharis had to stand in one corner. So, Gaurang Prabhu and other brahmacharis immediately started taking different books and seeing different titles, you know, what books they have. They went to the philosophy section, religious section and everything they were seeing. So, one of the devotees is there who is working on legal department. As soon as he went there, he took one CD and said, hey, they are using ISKCON picture. I will put a court case and get 10 lakhs. You know, he was selling. Separately, Gaurang Prabhu said, just see, everyone is looking for his taste, according to his taste. Even in a bookshop, he is looking for a legal case. He said, even in a bookshop. You see? So, once second nature is very strong, which we call as Svabhava, very deep-rooted. So the rishis and munis, the gurus would often see who belongs to which nature. Why should we see that? It is very important. Why? Those fellows who are in tamoguna, if you put them along with those in sattoguna and you expect the same standards, they will have big difficulty. There are many things that might happen. They will curse the management or they will not follow the rules. They will try to escape. They will have a lot of difficulty. It's like, you know, trying to drag a Luna to go at the speed of Mercedes. You tell the Luna, no, you both have to go at the same speed only. You know, it cannot. No. Because everyone's nature is different. The rishis and munis observed these things. Why? You have to be given a secondary, you have to be given an engagement, occupational duty, which will make your life almost stable. For example, ashramas are also like that, brahmachari ashram, gurastha ashram. Somebody, you put him in brahmachari ashram, he is flourishing. He is very happy studying shastras, doing seva, worshipping the deity, you know, preaching. He becomes very peacefully situated. And as the more the years pass, the more he becomes stable. What does that mean? He is a brahmachari. You put somebody in brahmachari ashram, he is extremely disturbed, his mind is wandering. He is splitting his hair, breaking his head. He is not able to follow the morning program, you know. And he is quarreling with devotees and he is not able to follow the standards. He has no taste for shastra. You know, he doesn't fit in the ashram here. And then you tell him, you do a job. Immediately he joins the company. Once he wears pants, shirt, coat, suit, tie. Now he is very stable now. Because that's what he needs to live peacefully. You tell him, you get married. And in marriage, he is advancing better than a brahmachari in the ashram. What does it show? Because that is suitable for him. That means he needs a wife, he needs a house, he needs a car, and he needs a designation in a company. And then he is able to live life peacefully. So, just like I told you about the ashrama, same with varna also. Everyone according to his varna, if he is engaged, they can become stable. Now, why should they become stable? That is the reason for that. Material world is a very, very unstable place. And the living entity tends to become whimsical. The living entity tends to become independent-minded. And the living entity has a tendency to always fall prey to sinful activities in the material world. And more so when he is totally ignorant. He has no guru. He has no guide. Then he wanders away into this dangerous forest and becomes very sinful. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, one should be regulated and stable in one's life. Sthairyam is used. And sthairyam means what? We are stable in regulated life and we don't commit sin. And in order for us to attain stability, these four classes are given. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Do your occupational duty that will help you to remain stable. Like Brahmana. Brahma karma means what? Study Shastra, preach Shastra. Do Yajna and teach Yajna. Yajan Yajan, Patan Patan. And accept charity. Don't accumulate. And whatever comes of its own accord, accept it. And if you have extra, you give it. You will see the Brahmana's tendency is if somebody gives him two apples, he will eat one apple and give one apple away to somebody else. If he's not a Brahmana, you give him two apples, he will eat one apple and keep one inside. That means he's Vaishya. He stores. So that tendency to store is not in a Brahmana. Brahmana just, that is why Dan and Pratigraha. He accepts, and if he gets little more, what he does? That's what Vamanadeva said. Vamanadeva said to Bali, my dear king, you are asking me whether I want multiple islands and all. Why do you need islands for my sustenance? I just need 3 steps of land. If a Brahmana asks for a charity, even little more than what he needs, he is not a Brahmana. And eventually he will fall from his position. Eventually if he accumulates, because he will become greedy, he will become infatuated by the possessions, and aham mameti will come. In this way, such a Brahmana will lose his crucial quality of simplicity, which is very vital for a Brahmana. Brahmana should be very simple. This is Brahma karma. Similarly, Kshatriya karma means what? To fight. Like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Teja, Dhritir, Shauryam, and Dakshyam, Yuddhe, Chapi Palayanam. Like that, he says many qualities. A Kshatriya has the prowess, and he has the courage. So he gives protection to women, protection to children, protection to cows, and protection to all the weaklings, 5 weaklings in society. And also he curbs evil forces in society like the thieves and rogues. That's the duty of a Kshatriya. And he also levies taxes to the public and collects taxes. What for? Not for enjoying oneself, but to give it all back to the welfare of the public. Even the viceroys would take all the gifts from the people and tax from the people. So the kings were not allowed to use the tax for their own purpose. All the tax belonged to government. But if somebody gives a gift personally, they can accept it personally. But the tax was not for their personal use. Like a sun absorbs water and gives it back as rain. Like that, kings would collect taxes and give it back to people. So this is Kshatriya karma. And Vaishya, you know, he has to do, you know, Goraksha Vanijyam, Krishi, Goraksha Vanijyam. He will do tilling the land, plowing the field, trading, for barter system and all that. You see, these 3 classes, they are not depending on anybody. You will see that. Like Brahmana accepts charity, and that is his dharma. He doesn't work under anybody. He doesn't go to a company or he doesn't work under somebody. Now somebody may ask, is he not extending his arms and asking for alms? Is he not depending on somebody? The understanding is, the Shastras say, when a Brahmana lives on salary, then he becomes obliged to do the karma of the employer. But if the Brahmana works for charity, he is not obliged by the karma given by the employer. For example, say there are so many Brahmana boys now in modern times working for software company. So you become obliged by the software job given to you. The company says you have to work 9 to 9. Here is a computer. Do this job. So can you do Brahmana karma there? You cannot do Brahma karma. Because you are taking salary. Now you ask charity. You can go to the same company employer and say, we have Hare Krishna temple, you know, we are building a new temple, please give some charity and we will build a temple. So you build the temple, you keep Krishna there, and you worship Krishna, you chant, you dance, you distribute books, and then when prasadam is distributed, you are also allowed to eat little prasadam and be satisfied with that. Charity. So you can do what God wants you to do if you accept charity. But if you accept salary, you become obliged to do what the other fellow tells you to do. Like for example, say I go to a grihastha's house as a brahmana, for example. I can go into kirtan. I can speak some pravachan something. And they may give me some prasadam. They may give some donation. Both are charity. Some prasadam charity, some donation charity. Come back to temple. So I can give them what God wants me to give them. But imagine, if I accept a salary from a grihastha, I work as his driver or a watchman. Then I have to oblige to do the material activity what they may want me to do. Is it not? It's very easy to understand. So, a brahmana should never give up his dharma. He should never accept salary at all. A true brahmana. And a true kshatriya, he will never show his arms to anybody like this. Give me. Brahmana accepts charity and kshatriya accepts tax. Like this, kshatriya accepts. Brahmana accepts like this. So kshatriya will show his sword if you don't pay the tax. You have to pay the tax monthly. 25% of your earnings have to be paid to the country's government. That's the rule in the Vedic times. If you are a farmer, whatever you earn, 25% should be paid to the government. And if somebody doesn't pay to the government, they should be ready to fight with the king or whatever. So kshatriya doesn't accept salary either. And vaishya, he also doesn't work for anybody. He does trading, cow production, farming. You go to the villages of India today, they have their own farm, you know, just behind the house. And they have a cow, they get milk, they have a bull which is they plow and till the land. Even today you can find many places. They get all kinds of vegetables. Morning they go and bring the vegetables and wash it and cook it and offer it to Krishna and eat it. Fresh they make it. Like I went to Kanpur temple few days ago. So there in Kanpur temple, just they have got 10 acres now. 5 acres they have put a compound, 5 more acres they got now. So they cooked some prasad for me in the afternoon. I was stunned, it was so tasty. I said, the sabji is so delicious. You know, you feel like eating more and more. They said, we haven't done anything, it is just from behind. We have a garden, they took me and showed me all kinds of vegetables and flowers and fruits and everything. They have a big goshala also. Evening they gave me pure cow's milk. So, a vaishya doesn't depend on anybody except God. He just tills the land. And so, Shudra is the only one who accepts salary. Because he works for the other three classes. He works. And everyone has to do their respective dharma. Like for example, once there is a story of Satyakama Jabala, who was living in Guru's ashram. And the Guru asked him, you are from which family? Who is your father? He said, sorry sir, I don't know my father. You know, my mother was born in a very poverty-stricken condition, due to which she had to associate with many men in order to earn her livelihood. And I was born in one such union. Now I am living with my mother and I don't have a father. I don't know. So when the teacher heard it, immediately he said, you are a brahmana. He said, because brahmana has to speak the truth. A brahmana can never hide the truth. That is one of the dharma of a brahmana. You see, from our qualities, nature and behavior, our character can be, our varna can be ascertained. Like, you know, when Karna wanted to learn archery, he went to Parashuram. And Parashuram said, I don't accept any kshatriyas in my ashram because I am against kshatriyas. I am traveling worldwide to kill 21 generations of kshatriyas. I only accept brahmanas. And Karna told him, I am a brahmana boy. So he was accepted. And he taught him many things. One day, in the Gurukula, when Karna was sitting, his teacher lied on his lap. And suddenly, a big black bumblebee came. And came and sat on the lap of Karna and started, you know, biting the flesh and poking a hole deep. And it was very painful, of course, for Karna. He tolerated it. But more and more it was poking, practically putting a hole. into his thigh and started bleeding profusely, and the teacher's cheeks got touched by the hot blood. And immediately the teacher got up, Parashana. He said, "What is all this blood? What happened?" He asked. He said, no, it's a small insect. It was just biting me," he said. Immediately the teacher shouted at him, "You are a Kshatriya. You are not a Brahmana." He told them, "You have cheated me. Because you have cheated me, all that you learned from me will be forgotten by you in the battle." Like that he said. Why? Because if a Brahmana sees blood, he will faint. But if a Kshatriya sees blood, he will laugh. He will get more courage. So, the gunas are very strongly there in individuals. Like that. Because every one of us are born of certain type of gunas. And one important thing, as it is said here, is one born in a certain guna cannot pretend to be someone else. Like Mother Sita and Ram were in the forest. See, they were so intimate that sometimes even Sita would give advice to Ram. One day, when they were sitting in the forest casually, Mother Sita said, "My dear Ram, you are always carrying this bow and arrow with you. You have become spoiled," she said. And Ram asked, "What do you say?" She said, "You see, there are three noble qualities of any great soul." She said, "One thing is, he never speaks lie. He always speaks the truth. Secondly," she said, "he never has any extramarital relationship with anyone. He always, you know, has only one wife. And thirdly, a noble person is free from cruelty to those who are innocent." And Sita said, "My dear Lord, you have the first two qualities. You never tell lies. You also, you have taken Ekapatni Vrat. So I like you for this. But at the same time, you have resorted to this cruelty. It's very bad," she said. And then she said, "How we become generally cruel? Only by bad association we become cruel. Because you are holding this bow and arrow all the time in your hand, you are very inspired to kill the animals in the forest. You are inspired to kill the Rakshasas and other people. So you give up this bow," she was telling. And then she told, long before, there was a rishi living in the forest who was performing tapasya. And more tapasya he did, and he became very powerful. And Indra became very afraid, seeing that rishi. And Indra wanted to somehow make the rishi lose all his tapavalam. So what he did, he personally came down and he gave a sword to the rishi and told him, "Can you please keep it with you safely for some time? And I will take it back from you after some months." And Brahmanas were so pure that you can give anything to them and go. And they will keep it very safely. And you come back and they will give it to you. That is why people had so much trust in Brahmanas. Like you have some gold chain or gold ornaments or money or anything, land or anything, your house. You give it to your Brahmana, tell him, "I will come after 2 years." You come back after 2 years, he will give it to you. He is completely detached. And out of that, if you give him little charity, he will accept. If you don't give any charity, he will not touch it. The Brahmanas are completely pure like that. So, when Indra gave the sword to Brahmana, Brahmana also accepted because he knew very well, in this world it is not very uncommon for people to give something to a Brahmana to preserve it. So, he is giving me, I will keep it. But then some blunder happened. Indra gave it to him with a certain intention and exactly that was fulfilled. The Brahmana saw the sword. It was very sharp and shining. And the Brahmanas means they are supposed to perform their dharma, as I told you. You do yajna, you do yajan, yajan, patan, patan, all these things. Brahmana thought, doing Brahma karma is very laborious, all this karma, and you have to earn charity. Why not I use this sword and threaten the people coming on the way as a highway robber, and I can make a lot of money. So he started using that sword for misusing it, and he was earning a lot of money. Sometimes he would stab people and kill them. Sometimes he would show it and loot their money in the forest. In this way, the Brahmana became totally degraded. And he lost the power of all his ascetic fruits. All the ascetic merits, he lost everything. So Sita told this story and told Ram, "Because you are carrying this bow with you, you are also like the Brahmana. Associating with this bow, you have a You delight in killing innocent animals in the forest. And you delight in killing Rakshasas. So Sita said, my request to you, my dear Lord, is that you only have the right to kill those Rakshasas who are troubling the Brahmanas and Rishis. Only them you can kill. You cannot kill anyone else. You should not kill innocent Rakshasas. You should not kill innocent animals in the forest. So you better keep this bow aside. This is spoiling you, she said. And Ram smiled and said, my dear Sita, you know the Brahmanas, they don't need me. They have the prowess to kill all the Rakshasas simply by one spell of a mantra. They can do that. But why they are not killing the Rakshasas? Because that is not their dharma. The dharma of killing the evil mind, evil people is, whose dharma it is? Kshatriyas. But if a Brahmana takes the control on his own hand and he kills the Rakshasas by putting a mantra, if he kills them, then Brahmana would degrade himself from a Brahma platform, Brahmana platform to Kshatriya platform. And by so doing, he will lose his ascetic merits completely. That is why they have left the job to me. And he said, I as a Kshatriya, I can live without Lakshman, I can live without you, but I cannot live without my dharma. I have to follow my dharma of protecting the Brahmanas. And I can never give up this vow. Because I have to, in fact, I have given them a promise that I will kill all the Rakshasas and Dandakaranya forest. So that for all time to come, sages can peacefully practice their spiritual life. So I must do my dharma. Please do not ask me to give up my dharma. That Ram said like that. So, from this story we understand, because Sita is a woman, she is soft-natured. Vama Swabhavam is used in Bhagavatam. So she is soft-natured. Just like, you know, Draupadi is telling Bhima, hey, Bhima, please do not kill this Ashwatthama. He is son of our guru, Dronacharya. And now I am lamenting because I have lost my 5 Pandava Shishu's children. And Kripi, if she loses her son Ashwatthama, in fact her husband Dronacharya has already passed away before. So Kripi is alone now as a widow, but she didn't enter the fire. Why? Because she has a son to protect her, Ashwatthama. If you kill him, then she will be lamenting, and I don't want to see another woman cry like me. So she felt a soft heart for Kripi. And she was telling him not to kill. But Krishna and Bhima and Arjuna, they all wanted Ashwatthama to be killed. But Yudhishthira and Draupadi did not want Ashwatthama to be killed. Because of the soft hearts like that. So a Kshatriya cannot go by such soft heart. He has to do his dharma. Kshatriya dharma may be difficult to do. Like you find in Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, he says, you know, Arjuna is telling, Guru nahatvahi mahanubhavan shreyo bhoktum baiksham apiha loke hatvartatamam stu guru nihaiva bhunjiya bhogan rudirapta digdhan na chaitad vidmah kataran no gariyo yadva jayema yadibano jayeyu yaneva hatvarta jiji vishama devastita pramukhe dartarashtraha. He's telling, my dear Krishna, how can you tell me to kill such great souls like Bhishma and Drona and my own cousins, Kaurava cousins? How can I kill them? I don't know whether I should kill them and conquer them or I should be conquered by them. I don't know. I am bewildered, he is saying. And then he is saying, against Bhishma Pitamah, I can't even have a verbal battle with him. How can I kill him? This is not within my power. He said, it is better for me to take a Bhiksha Patra and go to forest and say Bhavati Bhikshandehi and accept some Bhiksha and live peacefully rather than to kill these people and get an unrivaled kingdom. It is simply useless. Don't tell me to do this. Then Krishna told him, Arjuna, you are saying you want to become a beggar like a Brahmana. But let me tell you, your Swabhava will not let you be a Brahmana because your Swabhava is Kshatriya. You will go with your Bhiksha Patra to somebody's house, Bhavati Bhikshandehi, you will say, and they will say, get out! There is no food here. Immediately you will take out your sword. What did you say? You insulted me, because for a Kshatriya, insult is dishonor is worse than death, and you will immediately kill the person in the house and you will go to hell for that. Because a brahmana, a beggar cannot be choosers. And Krishna tells also his friends, when you are a beggar, you can never become angry. If they give you charity, you can be happy. If somebody doesn't give you charity, it is their choice. So brahmana should be detached. So Krishna said, you are not detached like that. You are a kshatriya. Your dharma is to do the battle, the fight. So don't give up your dharma artificially. And try to do the work of a brahmana. That is the meaning of that verse. Shreyan swadharma vigunaha paradharmat svaanushtitat. Don't try to do another person's dharma nicely. You are a kshatriya. Do your kshatriya dharma. Now these Pandavas, for example, in this verse, as we see, you know, they are kshatriyas. They have to have a land to rule. They have to be mahipate. Mahipate means they have to be lord of some patch of land. They have to rule. And if land is given to them, they can rule very nicely. But if you tell them that you go to forest and live like an ascetic, it is not very suitable for kshatriyas. Now sometimes a brahmana kshatriya, Vaishya Shudra, within their own varna they may sometimes commit some mistakes. For example, it is said, Vidyam vivadaya dhanam madhaya shakti paresham paripidanaya. This verse says, a brahmana sometimes may become arrogant because of his education. Sometimes a kshatriya, instead of using his power to protect a woman, can misbehave with a woman. That's a possibility. Similarly, a vaishya sometimes may keep 500 times profit instead of keeping, you know, 2 times or 3 times profit. He may become greedy. There is a possibility. Similarly, a shudra may become faithless and disloyal to his master and cheat the master. So these are defects in their own varna. But although there may be some defect, it is better for the individual to get rid of the defect by adopting proper dharma and go on with one's own dharma. Rather than saying that I am having defect in my platform, so I will do the other platform. That is the meaning of that verse. Shreyan swadharma vigunaha. This is the viguna. If there is a viguna, for example, Ekalavya belongs to the Nishada community. And the Nishadas, they generally live in jungles. They don't live in the country. Like Guha, for example, is a Nishada. And what is he doing? He takes people with a boat across the Ganges. That's all. That is his job. And they eat meat, they eat fish, they eat all that. And they are outcast. They live outside. So, Ekalavya belonged to that caste also. So, when he came to Dronacharya teacher, he said, I want to learn archery. The teacher said, no, don't try to do another person's dharma. You do your own dharma. You are not a kshatriya. You are not supposed to learn archery. So he turned him away. When he went home, he was very morose. He thought, look at the Pandavas, look at the Kauravas. They are all learning archery. They will become powerful. They will become winners in their life. I also want to become like them. And he thought that, of course, I can go to another teacher, but I may not be so famous. Because generally, like when we were studying in IIT, we get a reco from our teacher when you go to America for studies. So if you get a reco from IIT, you get very easy seat in West. You may get. So why do we want to study in IIT or NIT? Because the degree may be recognized. You can go to some Nakananda, Mukananda Engineering College. So many colleges are there. Nowadays new colleges have started. But why we want to go to a reputed institute? Because you can increase your influence over people. That's why people go to the best colleges. Same way, Ekalavya thought, if I can have Dronacharya as my teacher, who is the teacher of Pandavas and Kauravas, then I will also become a world hero. But then the teacher turned him away. So what he did when he came home, he made a portrait of the teacher and started learning archery by his own. And then when he was learning, at one time when the Pandavas were strolling in the forest, they saw a dog's mouth was pinned by arrows, filled with arrows. And the dog wanted to cry. It was trying to cry. He could not cry at all. Then immediately Arjuna came and reported to the teacher, somebody has tortured a poor creature and closed his mouth with arrows. And Dronacharya immediately said, that person must be less than a Shudra. It cannot be a Kshatriya. And then he said, by his Jnana Chakshu, he saw, he said, it is Ekalavya who did that, call him here. And then Ekalavya was called to the teacher. And teacher told him, see, I told you, I will not teach you archery. Do you know why? For this reason only. Because if you learn archery, you will torture those who don't deserve to be tortured. And Kshatriyas know, Kshatriyas have certain standard. If somebody surrenders to them, they will not kill them. And if somebody doesn't surrender, they will fight with them. They have to follow many codes. You are unfit to follow all those things. So I turned you away. But now, you know, you have used my portrait to learn archery. And now you have tortured an innocent creature now. You are a fool. He chastised him. And then Ekalavya bowed down to him. And then the teacher said, and the teacher said, if you are really bowing down to me with respect, then I demand that you give your thumb to me. Then he cut off his thumb and gave. Why he asked for the thumb? Because thumb is needed for archery. Without the thumb, you cannot do archery. So he took away the thumb of Ekalavya so that Ekalavya cannot create any discord in society. For that reason, he took away the thumb. So this story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that Ekalavya was a heretic. He wanted to act against his teacher's interest and society's interest. And he concocted a method of his own to learn archery, which is not at all appreciated. So no one should become like Ekalavya. That's the moral of the story. But in India, oftentimes people praise Ekalavya for Guru Bhakti, that he gave his thumb to Guru. It's a superficial understanding of the story. The real understanding is, whatever the Acharya or the Guru tells us to do, one should do. Ekalavya actually is a classical example of a rebel. He is not an obedient student at all. So, in this way, same principle. Shreyan Swadharma Vigunaha. You are a Nishada, you do the Nishada's work, you can do better. You will do it properly. And also, why Dronacharya behaved with him like this? Because at that time, Nishada community people were against the ruling party, which is Kauravas. They were not aligning themselves with the government. When the government people would go to collect taxes, they would throw stones and they would try to escape into the jungle. They wouldn't pay. So they were like a thorn for the government. And Dronacharya did not want to support those who are not aligning with God and government. He didn't accept him as a disciple. So many of these things are not well known to people in India oftentimes. So everyone is allotted a particular type of duty according to their dharma, and by sticking to it, the whole world will benefit. For example, if you take Brahmana, Brahmana is considered as the head of the society. If you take our head, for example, the eyes should always be able to observe the grievances of people around. That is the ability of the eyes. Like if you see somebody weeping or crying, the eyes should be extremely sensitive to be able to know the grievances and take immediate action. And the nose should be able to smell anything burning in the kitchen. Sometimes, for example, they are making upma or halwa. Sometimes they are a little careless to stir it. Then what happens? Immediately starts burning. Some people have a sharp nose. Even from this distance, they can say, hey, something is burning there, go and see. And others would say, no, no, nothing, nothing. You know, if you have a cold, running nose, you can never, you know, smell anything. But you go near and see, then you find it is sticking to the bottom. And then that smell goes through the entire pudding. You know, when you eat it, ping, it's slightly tilted. You can see the taste. So the nose should be able to smell the burning item which is being cooked. Similarly, the nose should be able to see something wrong going on in society anywhere. So Brahmana's eyes should be able to see the grievances of people in society. Brahmana's nose should be able to smell anything going wrong in the society. Brahmana means a very good observer. See, Brahmana need not be engaged by anybody. He is self-motivated, he is self-engaged. You keep a Brahmana anywhere. Brahmana means they are thinkers and well-wishers of society. they will always contemplate on how the world can be happy. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavantu. So when and ears means Brahmana should be willing to listen to the people's interest and then convey to the king also. And because the Brahmanas were very neutral, how neutral a Brahmana can be? Can you imagine? Take the example of Dronacharya. Dronacharya knew that his enemy Drishtadyumna, his enemy Drupada, in his sacrificial fire he created two children, Draupadi and Drishtadyumna. And Drishtadyumna was born to kill Dronacharya. And then when Drishtadyumna and Drupada wanted to find an expert teacher to train him, and in the entire world he couldn't get a teacher more expert than Dronacharya, whom he wanted to kill. So he sent his son to Dronacharya. And Dronacharya is now training somebody who is going to kill him. Can you imagine? Which teacher can do that? Only a Brahmana can do that. Because Brahmana is so impartial and so neutral. So high class. So, in this way I told you the dharma of a Brahmana. Coming to the Vaishnava understanding of this Varnashrama Dharma, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he went to the Madhva class of people. While talking to them, he asked them, what is the ultimate goal of your life? They said, our ultimate goal is Varnashrama Dharma, they said. If you are Brahmana, we will do Brahmana Dharma. If you are Kshatriya, we will do Kshatriya Dharma. Vaishya will do Daya Dharma. And then, the goal of performing our Varnashrama Dharma is to please Lord Vishnu. That was, you know, Varnashrama Acharavat Purushena Parappuman Vishnu Rara Aditapanta Nanyatato Shakaranam. Or there is another verse also. Atapumbir Dvijasreshtha Varnashrama Vibhagachaha Sva Anushtitasya Dharmasya Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Pleasing God Hari. So Mahaprabhu heard it, he denied it. They call it Sattvavadis. Mahaprabhu denied it. He said, Varnashrama is not the highest, he said. Because we call our nature as a Swabhav in this world. Brahmana Swabhav, Kshatriya Swabhav. But this Swabhav is secondary to the Swabhav of the soul towards Krishna. The Swabhav of the soul is to love and serve Krishna. That's the highest. So, and Mahaprabhu taught this point. He said, although living beings are situated in different bodies with different gunas, they may be superficially categorized as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra and all these things. Inside, the soul is completely pure. It's a servant of Krishna. The only identity of the soul is Jivera Sarupohoi Krishnayanita Das, eternal servant of Krishna. And Mahaprabhu said, one has to ascend beyond the three gunas to come to the point of appreciating this Jiva's real Swadharma. So, and then he said, Kiva Vipra Kibanyasi Shudra Kenana, Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Sai Guru Hai. Even if somebody is a Shudra, he is accepting salary and he is working for somebody. But if he awakens his love for Krishna, he is better than a Brahmana also. So, if one becomes a Vaishnava, he is superior to a Brahmana also. Like, for example, when Mahaprabhu went to South India, Godavari, bank of the river Godavari, he met Ramananda Rai, who was a Shudra. He was Kayastha community. And he was king of Madras, governor of Madras. So he was coming there to take a bath in Godavari along with Brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras and hundreds and thousands of people following him, musicians singing and everything. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, he saw Ramananda Rai coming, immediately went and embraced him. So the Brahmanas got bewildered. How can this sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Dvijasreshtha, he is a question of Brahmanas, and he is embracing a Shudra man, you know, who is also holding a post like a governor in a government, and is a Kayastha. How he is doing that? They got bewildered. But Mahaprabhu didn't see Ramananda Rai as a Shudra. He saw him as Vishakha Sakhi, and he himself is in the mood of Radharani. So it's like meeting of Radha, Krishna and Vishakha, that meeting. And also this is from a spiritual world point of view. From another point of view, Vaishnava point of view, even if you take Mahaprabhu as a Vaishnava, you know, and Ramananda Rai is a Vaishnava, a Vaishnava never see the caste, which caste you belong to. which creed you belong to, which nation you belong to. Sometimes you find, no, there are Americans and Africans, they are embracing each other, white and black, embracing each other. Very rare, isn't it? Because whites and black had a sworn enmity for a long time. But they embrace each other because they don't see the bodies or the nationality. They only see the soul. Naham vipro na chanarapatir napi vaishyo na shudro naham varni na chagrihapatir no vanasto yatirva kinto prodyan nikila paramananda purna amrita der gopi vartu pada kamalayo dasa dasa nu dasa. See Mahaprabhu's most famous verse. He said this. Naham vipro, I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a vaishya, I am not a shudra, I am not a brahmachari, I am not a grihastha, I am not vanaprastha, I am not sannyasi, I am not any of this varna or ashrama. My only identification is, I am servant of the servant of the servant of my eternal master Sri Krishna. Million times you can take servant of my master, Gopi Bhartu, who is the master of all the gopis. That is my only identity, he said. So, Vaishnava Dharma transcends Varnashrama. It is beyond Varnashrama also. That is why we may be Brahmanas and Brahmacharis doing Pujari worship. When you go to the ashram, we can clean the toilet also. There is no problem. Yeah, Vaishnava can do any service. It's not that I will do only Brahma Karma or I will do only Kshatriya Karma like that. But still we follow certain codes of conduct. For example, a brahmachari living in the ashram should not catch a chappal chore and beat him. That's not proper. Because if you catch a chappal chore and beat him in the public, the visitors to the temple will say, hey, you are a brahmachari, how can you beat a man? Better you hand him over to police. Because they will expect you to behave according to Varnashrama. That is why Mahaprabhu, when he was embracing Ramanand Rai, when all the brahmanas got bewildered, immediately Mahaprabhu stopped embracing. Because they were getting some misunderstanding. Now you may say, I am beating the chappal chore because I am Vaishnava. I have transcended all the four varnas. You can't say that. Yeah. So, like sometimes we find there may be a grihastha devotee who is working for a company, earning a salary. You cannot call him, hey, you are earning salary, you are a shudra. You can't say that. Because they may be externally, you know, working for a company, earning some salary. But as a Vaishnava, they are not to be counted as a shudra. They may even take Brahman Diksha also. They may have the enlightenment and understanding. But at the same time, what the grihastha should do, they should try to reduce the shudra karma as far as possible and try to gradually ascend to Vaishya Dharma or Kshatriya Dharma or Brahmana Dharma or Vaishnava Dharma fully. Because the nature of the material world is whatever you associate with, you know, we pick up, like if a devotee has taken Brahman Diksha, but is working for a software company. You go to the office, you tend to talk so many useless things there. You are not talking Brahma Gyan. You are not distributing Brahma Gyan. So gradually they should take off from that kind of karma and try to come close to the Brahma Karma. So the conclusion is this. We are working at two levels of operation. Sometimes we act as a Vaishnava. Sometimes we act according to our varna, an ashrama. So when do we shift this platform? The only consideration is pleasing Krishna. For example, if somebody is somebody is calling me to their house, like for example, once somebody is eating fish eggs in their house, they're calling us for kirtan. If somebody says, no, I am a brahmana, I will not go to such a house. It's a dirty house. You know, they have eaten fish there. I will not go there. If you see, then where is preaching then? So then you become a Vaishnava. Then you say, okay, I will come. You go and do kirtan there and then make them become free from meat-eating habit. Like that. Then you behave like a Vaishnava. And on the other hand, like I told you, certain type of karmas when we should avoid, then we follow the varna and ashrama we follow. Like somebody is telling you, like for example, I was sitting in the train. One day, suddenly a very young girl came and sat right next to me. There were already three people and there was little place and she just came and sat. Then immediately told her, Mataji, can you please sit there? Then she asked, what's your problem? Nowadays everyone sits everywhere. Then I told her, no, I'm Brahmachari. Then she immediately stood up. Then she sat on the other side. when we exchanged. So now here I was talking from the point of view of Varnashrama. Why? Because that is anukul for my Krishna consciousness. Accordingly we can accept. So Maharaj is about to leave for visiting some people, so I have to go with Maharaj. I will conclude the class here. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki.